As promised, we are joined right now by one of my best friends in the world. It goes without saying, I love this guy. You already know that. He is the host of Entertainment Tonight. Perhaps even more impressively, he was co-host of the legendary FX Sports Show, where he and I met. Probably the highlight of both of our careers, if not our entire lives, although I don't want to speak for him. Joking aside, I don't know anybody in our business who's had the career that my dude Butta has had in dominating both in the world of sports and in entertainment, and he's at it once again. He's got a brand new podcast called Alternate Roots, which is a Wondery production. It premiered on March 12th. We will talk about that momentarily. I am speaking of my dude Kevin Frazier. Butta, my brother, what's good?
What is up? One of the greatest shows ever. And I still have the promo billboard from the FX Sports Show. I keep that in my house. I have it to this day.
Dude, don't ever lose that. That is so awesome. I love that. I love that so much. Listen, Kevin, I was all set to open it up to you and let you take it in any direction you wanted, sports or entertainment-wise, but that was before the breaking news. What is your reaction to O.J. Simpson dying this morning, and how is this going to impact your day?
Well, first of all, it made our day crazy. I'm in Las Vegas at CinemaCon, and so much that he, you know, so much of his life, the latter half, was lived here in Las Vegas, whether he was incarcerated or he just lived here. And I think that the most important thing to understand about OJ is he was someone who was at the top of the food chain before that unfortunate night and those murders, and we still don't know who killed Nicole Brown Simpson or Ronald Goldman. But maybe now that he is gone, people will step forward. I drive past that house at least twice a week, and you can't ever get over. You never, you know, pass it and forget. You always think about that night, that murder, and how it changed American society forever.
Kevin, do we not know? Do you not know who killed those two?
No. Listen, what we're waiting for is confirmation. We're waiting for the side players. As people pass away, you know, people say, oh, OJ is dying with the secret, allegedly. But now I think it will free people who might have been part of this or understood what happened or that he may have talked to and told things to speak the truth now. And I think that will be interesting to see who comes out and who says what now.
Kevin Frazier joining us. Kevin, what was your connection to him, either professionally or otherwise? Do you have any anecdotes or stories you can share? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this is the wild thing, Jim, about that whole time. I mean, my neighbor was one of the lawyers on the Cochran team, and I always talked to her about, you know, that time and what happened. And having had a chance to interview so many of the players in that, and I worked with Marcia Clark for a long time. She was our legal analyst at Entertainment Tonight. And I just, Jim, I can't stress enough that people don't understand. There was no court TV before that. That trial changed everything in everybody's lives. And you know, one of the things that Marcia Clark always talks about is living in that fishbowl that everybody in America all of a sudden knows who you are. I mean, talking to Courtney Vance about then playing Johnny Cochran in the miniseries about the trial. So many people were touched by this thing, talking to Nicole's sister and the Goldmans, you know. This is something that to this day, you mention OJ's name, and it has a polarizing effect. You are on one side or the other, and I think with his death, it's the same. It's why they waited to announce his death, because everybody has an opinion about OJ Simpson. And so I just, having touched all these people that were near or dear to that, it's the way it changed their lives, and to this day, the way it still affects them is profound.
We're talking to Kevin Frazier. He's in Vegas. Kevin, you mentioned CinemaCon. For those who don't know, what is that conference? Who's it for? And what is the big news coming out of the event this year?
So it's the movie operators and everyone that is a movie operator. They are talking about, here are the big tentpole movies that are coming out, what you can expect in your theaters and what will drive people to the theater. So all the different studios come and they do presentations. All the stars are here. I just left Chris Hemsworth and Brian Tyree Henry. And they were talking about Transformers. There is Wicked is the big thing. Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo were here yesterday. Joker with Lady Gaga playing Harley Quinn. I can't wait for Michael, the Michael Jackson movie with his nephew Jafar in it, because Jafar has Michael down. And if you don't understand that, go to YouTube and watch some of Jafar's music videos, because he had his own career. And it is wild, and I can't wait for people to see that. Margot Robbie has a new Monopoly movie. There's Gladiator with Denzel and Pedro Pascal. Kevin Costner has Horizon coming out, two parts of it. One drops in June, one drops in August. And, you know, DJ Dwayne Johnson will be here on his, you know, tour before he goes to wrestle. And there's so many cool things. I love coming here because you get the jump on all the movies. I was here last year to watch the Marley, you know, they were talking about Marley and showing us extended clips of Marley, and then it came out and did so well. So, Jim, this is really one of my favorite days, and then tonight we'll have the CinemaCon Awards, which I will host.
Kevin Frazier, nice. You're going to host that. You mentioned Michael Jackson. Of course, when I think about Kobe Bryant used to talk about how Michael Jackson was as great an inspiration to him as anybody.
Yeah.
Did you know Michael Jackson at all?
Not at all. I know his family very well, and I've had a chance, you know, to deal with the Jackson family. And it's interesting because if you remember when all that craziness was going on at the house and they were saying, oh, Jermaine's children are out of control, you know, and they're running wild and everything, Jafar was mixed up in all that. And you're like, oh, there's a million people living in this house where they're living in the valley. And I was like, guys, relax. It's a big compound and it's cool. But, you know, getting to know the family and especially the brothers as they have gone on with their life, you know, and we forget that Michael was their brother. Forget all the allegations, the craziness, all the wackiness that went along with Michael. And then also, Jim, one of the most surreal events I ever covered when I first got to Entertainment Tonight, I covered his trial up north, just north of Santa Barbara. And the Michael Jackson fans that came from all over the world. I mean, I remember sitting with this woman from Sweden who was a teacher and quit her job, and she moved into a hotel with four other people. They were sharing a hotel room because they didn't have enough money, just so they could come and sit outside every day at that trial. I've never seen anything like it. It was one of the wildest events. You know, that's when Michael danced on top of the car and they all went crazy. Oh, one of the wildest events I've ever covered.
Kevin Frazier joining us. Kevin, one more thought about Hollywood before I ask you about your new podcast. You just wrapped up the award season, and it's the busiest time of year for you. To use a sports analogy, how much of a long shot was Oppenheimer to even get made, Kevin, by a major studio, considering the subject matter and the running time of 3 hours plus? How much of a long shot was it to get made, much less winning seven Oscars, including the Best Picture?
It's a movie about physicists. Who cares? It's a movie about physicists. And it was wild that, you know, when it came out, and this was the key, that it was Barbenheimer. So everybody was going back to the theaters. They were going to see Barbie, and they also could get a ticket to Oppenheimer. And I think that push really got them over the hump as far as making money, but also as far as people seeing the movie. I'm going to tell you something. I think it's a really good movie, and Christopher Nolan is great. Was it the best movie of the year? I don't know about that. And so it's, you know, that goes back to movies that are critically acclaimed aren't always what the people go to see. And that's the problem that Hollywood and the award season has to fix. They have to start acknowledging the movies that people go to see and love.
So what did you think was the best movie?
Listen, American Fiction, and a lot of people didn't see that either. So let me just be honest, okay? There's a lot of movies that people didn't see that were, because this was a down year for movies. We were coming off of a time where nobody was going to theaters, so we were just getting back into the feel of things. I mean, I thought Top Gun was a perfect movie. You know what I mean? And it received no love. You know, there were a bunch of movies out there that were really, really good. It didn't get a lot of love.
So hey, Kevin, that's really interesting. A perfect movie. Is there such a thing as a perfect movie? What makes a perfect movie?
The star power, like the awe factor that you go in and you're just like you're lost inside a movie. Like, for instance, the movie that just came out, Kirsten Dunst, Civil War. It was so, it's so damn good because you sit on the edge of your seat and you don't ever think about, I'm in a movie theater watching this movie. You're totally engrossed and you're into it. And that is the beauty of, I think that like Top Gun and a movie like Civil War and a few others, I highly suggest you go see this, Jim. It is, it will, from the minute it starts till the end and how timely it is about what's going on in America right now. It's a really good movie.
So really quickly, Kevin, what about, I'm a huge Tom Cruise guy. I love the guy. Say what you want about him and his personal life and his beliefs. I love the guy as a major movie star.
A movie star.
Tell me about your relationship or experiences with him. What's that been like?
Tom Cruise always comes ready to play. He is always like focused. And when he is promoting a movie, he is locked in. He remembers every person. He remembers your name. And he comes and he gives you time. You know what I mean? He promotes. You know how there's athletes, Jim, that you've had that have sat down with you and they give you nothing. And it's like, bruh, I'm here trying to help you. Tom Cruise comes as focused as anybody else in the business. And I'll tell you a quick story. During the tour, for one of the Mission Impossibles, our correspondent, Jan Carl, and her mother were in Berlin. It was a hot day. And her mom passed out. And Tom Cruise caught Jan's mom and sat there and held her until they could get medics there to help her. Now,
of course,
he's in the middle of
he did, dude.
Movies.
Yep.
But I'm like, dude, are you serious right now? And he sat right there.
You know he did. Now, if you weren't busy enough, you are now co-hosting the new Alternate Roots podcast with Trey Wingo, who is also a former ESPN SportsCenter anchor like yourself. How did that come together, and what does that podcast focus on?
So, this idea of the sliding doors of sports, if one little thing changes, the repercussions that come out because of that. And so Trey and I were talking about it, and, you know, J.J. Redick approached us both about this, and we were like, we love this idea. And so we sat down and we mapped out a bunch of ideas, and we laid it out like the and it's alternate routes. We went the routes, routes, but anyway, routes. And we just, like, this week we dropped the podcast of what if Tiger doesn't get in trouble? What happens? What changes? How different is the trajectory of his life if that night at his house and his wife doesn't swing on him with that golf club and he isn't busted? If he can still keep his phone hidden away from his wife, what happens? How different is his life? What if Barry Bonds went to the Yankees because he came very close to going to the Yankees instead of the San Francisco Giants? How does that change everything? How different is Derek Jeter's life because of that? What if the Chris Paul trade isn't vetoed? I mean, come on. And my take on that, by the way, the Chris Paul trade, they were giving up so much, and now we know what we know about the other pieces that were going to be left behind and how they may not have worked out. So Chris Paul coming to the Lakers may not have been the like a direct route to a championship for Chris like everybody thinks. So there are all these things. And I mean, Jim, you can think of so many scenarios where if one thing changes, everything's different.
I actually love the concept. I love the notion. Let me ask you this. I know you're having fun with it, too. Are you having more fun with that than you did the FX Sports Show?
I mean, we don't have the Geek. And for anybody who doesn't understand what the Geek is about, please go to YouTube and just look it up. It's the most asinine thing that's ever happened in sports. And we talk to the Geek each and every Sunday, Jim and I did, like it was gospel. We interacted with him like it made sense. And it was one of the silliest things you will ever see in sports history. Love the guy who played the Geek, but it was just ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It really was.
It was idiotic. It was idiotic. And not the guy. The Geek was a good dude. Yeah, I mean,
good dude.
He had to know. And you and I were just doing a job. But if not for that idiotic Geek and that notion, you and I would have never met each other, which is the beauty of this whole thing, Kevin. You imagine that I'm at a point in my life where I feel strongly about this, that I'm going to tell a person either on or off the air, man, dude, it's not awkward either, man. I love you. You are one of my best friends. How crazy is it that our great friendship was born out of the freaking FX Sports Show? We never knew each other. They just threw us together for that show.
No, and it's so wild because, you know, I used to come home and watch you on Talk 2 because I did the midnight news in Cincinnati. So I'd watch you on Talk 2 and they're like, oh, do you know this guy, Jim Rome? And I was like, do I know Jim Rome? He's incredible. And then I get to meet you. We bond. We have family connections and everything. And this is the thing that as you get older, you also learn. There are very few people that you will meet and love and get to know and you will remain lifelong friends. You care about their kids and their wife and everything that goes on in their life. And those are important relationships, Melly.
We have all these bull bleep relationships. You know what's real and what's not. Anyway, I'm going to get out now and thank him. I absolutely love Kevin Frazier. He is one of my best friends in the business, in life, and otherwise. And a guy you can always count on, a guy who would take a bullet for you. I absolutely love him. One of the most talented people I've ever met and one of my favorite people, Kevin Frazier. Check out his new podcast. That's actually a great idea. Alternate Routes, Alternate Routes. There he is. But I don't know what happened. I was just saying goodbye to you. You went with a bull bleep bomb, which we had to dump, and then all of a sudden you were just gonzo. So finish that thought, my man, real quickly.
You're on TV, too, because I'm like, I'm just talking about our love for each other and how I know your mother, your sister, your family, your wife, your boys. And I'm like, oh, and that's more important than anything we'll ever do on TV. And then I look and it's like, crickets.
Exactly, dude. That is so funny. No, I said my man was making the most poignant point of all time, and all of a sudden he's just gonzo. He's gonzo. No, dude, I was not ghosting you over that. You're so right. I could not agree with you more. I could not have said it better myself. I do love you, my man. I appreciate you very much, Kevin. I love you. The podcast is incredible. Listen, be good, be healthy, and I know we'll talk again soon.
Jim, always good to talk to you. To everybody, I said hello. Love you, man. I'll talk to you soon.
You too. But if you know this show and you know Kevin Frazier and you know our relationship, you know how much I love him. And he really is one of the most talented people I've ever met in my life. He's had an amazing career. He's got great energy. He is beloved. And my man, best storyteller ever, best dinner guest ever, best guy ever to hang out with. He is beloved.